It is in our Lord's sufferings that we are reconciled to God. And Paul said that he was crucified with Christ. He did not mean that he had been afflicted with a stigmata, or that he gave up everything he owned for the mere sake of suffering. Rather, that he, Paul, was in Christ crucified into the world, and that he was no longer the world, or even Paul's, but God's man. His suffering, not mine. His will, not mine. His life, not mine. That is the message of the church of the Reformation in Lenten season. The salvation centered in you and your works and suffering, or in Christ and His. Makes all the difference in the world in your faith. Makes all the difference in the world in your theology. Our suffering does not matter. We can ignore it if our lives are centered not in ourselves. But the suffering of Christ, that does matter. Because, as Isaiah foretold, He was grieved for our iniquities, and with His stripes we are healed. So how do we come to share that suffering? How do we enter into the passion of our Lord this Lenten season? Does it mean that we must reconstruct, in memory at least, the hardness of that road He traveled and the darkness He experienced at Calvary and feel sorry for Christ? Not quite. Although no doubt in our homiletical preparations for midweek Lenten services, many of us will wind up doing exactly that kind of sentimental preaching. But to participate in the sufferings of the cross means that we begin by sharing what the New Testament speaks of as the scandal of the cross. The apparent folly of a faith which declares history's blackest crime to be history's brightest hope. It affirms that although sinful man gave God a cross, He made it a throne in which He reconciled the world to Himself. Despite those voices in the world of theological learning who contend that the Word of God must be made relevant to meet the challenges of a modern age, we live, by and large, in the same Greek land that served as the stage for the ministry of Jesus. World of vain philosophy and technology and science where the preaching of the cross remains primitive and unsophisticated. So to be involved in Christ's suffering in such a world means to proclaim the cross as a rescue which no man can work, but which every man is bound to freely receive as a gift in Jesus Christ. We participate in the sufferings of Christ with the understanding that in that passion, God has worked His eternal triumph over sin and death, and that suffering is the price of finishing His victory. And the proper grasping, dear friends, of that fact will deliver us all our lives and in every Lenten season from every temptation to false martyrdom. We do not go about looking for opportunities to suffer. It is true that we will. That our suffering comes as a result of our disregard for our personal welfare as we look to the coming of God's kingdom. Our view of life, even in the midst of Lent, is marked not by morbidity, but by a confidence that He who has begun a great work in Christ Jesus will not stop until that work has been consummated. Yes, we live under the words of Jesus, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." And finally, because you and I share the suffering of Christ, we undertake His passion for all men, that they also should become our fellows in His grace. St. Paul could never quite drive from his consciousness the picture of the brother for whom Christ died. Drove him across the world with the message of the cross burning his lips. And the same passion carried Boniface to Bavaria, nuts to Scotland and art to China. And by God's grace, in a few short months, some of you, places like Davenport and Omaha and East Lansing. So you see, you and I, as God's appointed agents for the reconciliation of the world through the gospel, keep the meaning of Christ's suffering alive long after life has come and gone. And as sharers in that suffering, we try not for our own hurts and losses and setbacks and trials, but quickly forget them in the magnitude of the passion of Christ, which is at work redeeming men. You see now this last Wednesday what it really means to have fellowship with Christ in his suffering. It means the reconciliation of self so total that there is not even enough of self left to take pride in the renunciation. It means that the so-called Copernican revolution has taken place in the believer's life so that it is no longer he but Christ who is at the center of the universe. There is surely a place for the Imitatio Christi in our devotional lives. Perhaps the tempest is ignored more than it should. But we must guard against the danger that it will lead to a preoccupation with self rather than with Christ. And so we go into the situations of life, confident that in Jesus Christ our victory is secured over every enemy. Our only suffering is not personal, it is rather the suffering of our Lord. And because of our faith in him, he said, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." The muffled tone of our fellowship of suffering is never despair, but joy, never pain, but triumph, never death, but life. For such is our assuredness of the power of his resurrection. Amen.